I only got back into boxing because I was depressed, bro. Like, I was 15 stone 9. If you want to continue, you continue. Don't let anyone tell you different, because it doesn't define you. And for your mental health, just know that these feelings will pass. Because when I was in the moment, I felt like my world was ending. I didn't even want to go to the corner shop, just in case anyone recognized me.
No one really believed in me like that. And it broke my spirit a number of times. If I'm honest, I've been on the floor crying with certain things. Or you've made a mistake, and that gut-wrenching feeling where you can't even think about how you're going to recover from that. There's a savagery in that drive,
you know?
And it's like, you're going to have to kill me to stop me. You are locked into another episode of Meg Talks, the people's platform home to queer, POC, millennial conversation. Big up yourself if you're locked in for the first time. We're your people, we're your family, we're your gang. And manners and respect if you're locked in for another episode. You know, I always appreciate, I really appreciate you, man. You can listen to every single episode on Spotify, on YouTube, with full-length visuals. So make sure you enjoy. We're not just audio anymore. And we've got the clips on Instagram and on TikTok as well. Anyway, I am here with DJ, singer, and pro boxer, Monique, aka Boxy, in the building.
What's going on, man? Thank you for having me.
Come on. And before we even kick off, we got Cardiff in the building. Like, how long did it take you to get here?
Normally 4 hours, but today God was on my side because it took me like 3 hours. So blessed. I was like driving, like, yo, look at the sat nav, and I was like, right, I'm here.
But peeps, this is how much the people them are rating you and are loving you, and they just want to connect with you guys. That they're coming from all over the place. So shout out. But just to kind of give you a bit of a rundown. So we've got a pro boxer in the house and whatnot. You've also recently hosted Boxy's World podcast as well, which is brand new, hot off the press. So please make sure you go and...
You inspired me. Trust.
But make sure you go over and show the support, man. Like, it makes a difference. Whether it's a like, a subscribe, a follow, whatever it is, man. Trust me, it really makes a difference. So make sure you go show some love. And you've DJed at the likes of like Lit, Cardiff and stuff like that. So you've got a heavy repertoire, man.
Trying, innit?
Yeah. But before we even get into the backdrop of your story and what you do, we've got a game. You ready?
Okay, yeah.
So what we're doing now is quick and fast, yeah?
Okay.
All right, so do you prefer solitude or being in company?
Solitude.
Would you prefer to lead or follow?
Lead.
Celine Dion or Whitney Houston?
Yo, that's hard, you know.
You're up against the clock, man.
Oh, wait there. Whitney.
Reggae or reggae and dub or hip hop?
These are hard questions. Oh, reggae.
R&B or UK drill and grime?
R&B all day.
Early mornings or late nights?
Late nights.
Debate or silence?
Debate.
Your mentality or your presence, which one's more important?
Presence.
All right.
You gotta feel you when you're in the room. Yeah, definitely presence.
Yeah. Listen, I knew I was gonna swing you with the Celine Dion or Whitney, because
that's so hard.
Baby, Celine Dion. Twice,
yeah, she's one of my favorite singers.
And the memories.
You know the ones, isn't it? Come on.
No, listen, she gets
you.
There.
She gets you in your feels, but it's up against Whitney. Whitney's the goat.
Yeah, Whitney.
You get me? They are the goats together. But I can't. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to choose to be Whitney.
You know, so we're gonna jump right into it, and we're gonna spend this time just getting into boxing and the world around it. So we're gonna take on society's perceptions first, because I think we're even as an audience, even me, we're all coming into the world of boxing at a different level and understanding. And I think there are these preconceptions. So I want to just address some of those things, knock that out of the park, and then at least we can start to get into it and we're all vibing together, you
100%,
know?
100%.
So, like, the career path you've chosen comes with a lot of associated labels and stereotypes, you know? How would you personally describe yourself, kind of separating yourself against those stereotypes?
I've always been the type of person to... be myself, do you get me? So for me, I don't really pay no mind to the stereotypes. It's only when I got to the top level, when I say the top level, biggest platform, Matchroom, The Zone, and I was at cameras shoved in my face and critics and all that, like, that's when I started to realise, am I allowed to swear, by the way?
Yeah, yeah.
Shit got real. I was like, okay, this is where they tried to box you, and not physically box you, but put you in a box. And for me, I feel like I'm a very, like, calm, collective, chill person. And I do believe that I'm quite a nice person.
Yeah.
So I think that that's the perception of boxing, is this like, especially when it comes to women, this macho, this, like, trying to prove yourself in a way through, like, I don't know, like, calling people out, trash talk, all that.
Mm.
Whereas I'm, like, a calm and collective person.
Mm.
And that's separated me from, humble, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Separated me from, like, the stereotype of what boxing
I think that's is. That's interesting. It's a really interesting take, because most people who maybe are not familiar with combat sports,
yeah,
they don't associate that personality type with being calm and collective. They would expect that you've got a temper,
yeah,
a kind of more of a reactionary person, more than calculated. So I think that's quite an interesting take. And you started to talk about how when you get to reach a certain level of boxing there, yeah, you can start to feel the walls confining in terms of how they're trying to portray, yeah, you. Like, what kind of, share a little bit more around what that means and what that feels like.
So, not the platform itself, obviously, yeah, that's like an amazing thing to have such a big platform.
Yeah.
Even for me to have a taste of what it's like to actually be on a big platform like that. But in terms of the critics and the people, like, I guess it's any sport, but in terms of boxing, I just feel like people, they like to have a big opinion. And I find it wild when I see some of the comments and stuff about, like, professional boxers, and no one really understands what goes into it anyway.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Like, and I started my career with the odds stacked against me anyway, because I didn't come from, like, a big, long amateur career. I kind of stepped into the game as being like, yo, I'm a DJ, I'm a singer, I'm a this, I'm a that, and now I'm here to box. And people were just like, oh. So from the jump, I was faced with a lot of adversity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that they tried to, like, a lot of the people, critics, also, like, news journalists, the people that were interviewing me, tried to kind of, like, create a narrative. That's obviously their job, isn't
it? Yeah, I get what you're saying. It does make it a little bit more entertaining. You see that, if you think about some of the more bigger names in combat sports, like Tyson Fury,
yeah,
there's that, they kind of drum up that narrative around him. John Jones,
yeah,
as well in MMA. Yeah. He's got a very fruitful lifestyle. But again, you can kind of see,
yeah,
how they try and really use that. But I'm like, he's a sick fighter though.
100%. Like, yeah, that's another thing. When you get into the game, you understand that it's an entertainment business.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, like, it's a facade to some level, but don't get it twisted, you'll get found out.
Yeah,
you got to put the work in as well, but also to sell yourself, because I'm probably going off topic, but I see a lot of pro boxers that haven't got a lot, like, far in their career, but they're amazing at what they do, just because their social presence isn't great.
Yeah, they don't bring that entertainment value, because you've got to be able to sell out fights.
That's it.
You know, you've got to get bums and seats.
It's not easy, man. Yeah. It's not easy.
So, like, boxing is perceived as a very violent sport, a very aggressive sport, and that. What are your opinions on people that have got that perspective on it?
So, boxing's an art. Boxing is definitely an art. It's definitely strategy. It's definitely a lot of time and a lot of mind control. You have to dive deeper than you ever have. In this boxing game, you can't go into it just with your hands. You've got to go into it with your mind, align with your body. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, the perception, obviously, I'm not going to lie, it's pro boxing. So when you step into that ring, it's violence. Like, you could be a boxer that likes to come forward and try and take your opponent down, wear them down. But ultimately, you're hitting each other in the face. Like, it's no joke. You have brain scans and, like, big tests before you fight. Do you get me? So you've got to be prepared to get into the ring and put your life on the line. People don't understand. It's like, these people die of this sport. Women die of this sport, like, every year. Do you get me?
That's interesting. So, like, what are some of, like, you tapped into, like, some of the testing that you have to do to make sure that they're able to monitor if there are any kind of change or fluctuations in your well-being. So what are some of those tests?
I'm only smiling because every time they test me, I have to have a pregnancy test. And that's what I say. I'm like, it's guys. Yeah, it's not going to happen. But so they test you for, like, you have a full MRI scan to see if there's any shadows on the brain. If there's like the slightest little shadow, they'll recall you and say, like, you need to test again or get a second opinion. You have blood tests, you have hepatitis shots, because obviously blood's transfer. You have eye tests, but like extensive eye, not like a normal eye test. They test like the back of your cornea, everything. And then you have obviously fitness tests, again, drug tests, whole heap of tests, bloods, everything. Yeah, man.
What are your opinions on violence and physical force in broader society? And I'm going to frame this up because...
Okay.
My stance is fuck around and find out.
Yeah.
Because I think that I don't like bullying.
Yeah.
I think if you know that, if you get into a situation and you know that you can just finish someone, I actually don't think there's any point in doing it, because at this point, what's the point? Unless they pose a threat to you.
Yeah.
Then I think you have to act accordingly. And I think it is all about acting accordingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're in a friendly scenario, you know, act accordingly, be friendly, be social, be kind. If you're in a scenario where you're in danger or someone has made it very clear that they pose a threat to you, you need to sort that out if you can.
Yeah.
I know not everybody's built for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think violence sometimes gets a really bad rap, that it's just all... I'm like, sometimes that's what it gets to. There are certain situations that I don't think can be resolved through a conversation. It is, things have escalated so far that that's what it needs to be. And I don't think that it's a bad thing. I think society has pacified us to an extent whereby it's all very diplomatic and PC. And I think, I'm like, that's not good for your blood pressure, your mental health. Sometimes, you know, scrap it out and then done.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, even big up Alex, we were talking about Street Beefs.
Yeah.
It's a YouTube channel.
I need to watch this, yeah.
And their motto is guns down, hands up.
Yeah, I love that.
And it creates a safe environment that if you have got a beef, and it's not just those kind of things, there is a competitive element to it as well. But if you have got a beef, you can go there, you can be in a safe environment, fight it out with a referee in place. You get your breaks as well, your recovery breaks, and that's what it is. And I'm like, sometimes you just need
that output.
You need that output, you need to resolve it. And a lot of the times, you see, if you get your ass handed to you and you are wrong, it humbles you.
For real,
it does. And
we're old school like that, though. Like, obviously, I mean, I'll let you finish and then I'll...
Yeah, no, I think that's what it is. Because sometimes, you know, there is this scenario where there are people that have not... The energy that they've put out, they've not had to be really held accountable for the things that they've said or done. And they just get away with things. And that gripes me, you know. Anyone that listens to this podcast knows that there is that edgier side to me. I'm laid back and friendly and stuff.
Yeah.
But if it had to get active, then that's... Unfortunately, that's what the situation would be. I'd never go to look out for that situation. Yeah. I would never want it to be there. But I understand the reality of this world.
Yeah.
And we're talking about keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
You know, on social media worst. And stuff. And they, you know, they don't matter, but the words have an impact. And I think we'd be stupid to believe any of the otherwise. But if they were really held to account for what they said, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, it's like that commercial I said.
Yeah, tell them about it.
So, so I was watching this commercial the other day. And it was Joseph Parker, like a, you know, famous heavyweight boxer. And I think it was like Betfred's or something. And basically some guy, some keyboard warrior on Twitter is like John996, I don't even know, some name like that. He must have said to Joseph Parker, oh yeah, that was like a shit shot. When I see you, I'm going to knock you clean out or something like that. So Joseph Parker shows up to his door. And he's like, are you John996? And he's like, yeah. And he's some like big guy, like, look, I don't know. He had like food in his hand. He was like, yeah. And he was like, well, I've come to like basically like knock you out, innit?
Call you out.
And the guy's like, no. So basically it just made me laugh because I was like, right, like half of these people have never stepped in the ring and would never have the guts or the balls or the ability to do what I do.
Yeah.
But people are just... That's just the way society is.
Yeah.
And obviously they got a lot of demons in themselves that they output it and don't, like you said, it's hard that they don't get held accountable from all these like burner accounts and that. And it's sad, really, because a lot, like, you know, a lot of people do let it mentally break them down. If you look at the comments, don't get me wrong, you see five nice comments, one shit comment, and then all of a sudden that's stuck in your head for the rest of the day. So that's why I said boxing's mental as well. It's not just physical.
But what are your opinions on kind of just like the idea of violence and physical force existing in the world that we live in?
I've grew up with an old school, like, family. Like, my dad's old school, like, old school black man, like, believes in dealing with things, like, in a manner of, if someone brings it to you and this is how you got to settle it, then you settle it both, like, with your fist, you get me? School, things like that. Like, I got bullied in school because I was just different. But I was popular, but I got bullied by boys, you get me? Because I was always, like, a stud in school. I never stopped dressing the way I dress from young. So I would always be, like, picked on and things like that.
The original tomboy.
Do you get what I'm saying? The original tomboy. So, like, I had it from young, from the man them in school. So I would always be, like, a target. So for me, it would be, like, come, like it's on site, like, let's fight. I had fights, like, a lot of boys, you get me? I can't remember having a fight with a girl. One time in my life, probably when I was like 15, and I was quite like timid and shy. Do you get me? But if someone brought the heat to me, then I'd be like, cool, like, you're threatening your personal, coming in my personal space and threatening me. This is then the society, the younger generation are obviously like a lot woker in terms of different things, but then sensitive in other ways. You can't do anything anymore. You can't even go like this without someone saying, oh, you assaulted me.
Yeah,
and they're protected. And I guess that's good because you shouldn't go around like promoting violence. However, the old school part of me was like, if you want to bring me harm or try to like bring something to me, then let's settle it. Do you get me?
It's like an eye for an eye.
Yeah, like
it's that old, it is a very classic old school
mentality.
but
not anymore because I'm pro. I can't go around.
We'll get into it. We'll get into that. But I think there is this kind of balance because there's pros and cons to say pros and cons to both, because that shift in society means that we're safer. But I feel like people get too big for their bridges at times. It fucks with the natural balance of dominance and submission in society, because if you go back to caveman times, everybody knew their ranking and their place.
That's it.
But you don't have that anymore. But then I guess also, you know, again, the negative side is that people are harboring a lot of anger and frustration and resentment because things just don't get settled and they just sit with you, you know. And that's never there's nothing, especially for masculine people, there's nothing worse than having these things sitting on your chest, because you're a ticking time bomb. You're a ticking time bomb, you know. But I wanted to ask, you know, what are the different levels of boxing? So when we get into your journey, people have got a rough idea as to kind of where you're sitting.
So to put it like this, there's amateur, so there's like schoolboy, which is like, you know, young ages, like, you know, in school and stuff. Then you get into amateur, like as a senior, and then eventually you turn over to pro. And they call it a turnover point because it's a very different way of boxing. You know, amateur's very like point scoring, light. Like, don't get me wrong, there's obviously, as you get like a senior, you get a lot of knockouts and things like that. You can still get hurt in amateur boxing. I've seen it more than pros, but the pro game is a different level again. It's a lot dangerous. Like, you're fighting in like, you don't have head guards on.
Right.
You're fighting in smaller gloves, like 8 to 10 ounce gloves. They ain't a joke. Like, if you felt them when they're brand new, you know, they feel like it's hard. You get me? Like, you feel them and you're like, right. Like,
if when that hits you, you know about it.
Yeah, 100%. Like, they're not broke in either. Like, you get a fresh pair of gloves when you fight.
Right.
You get me?
After every fight, you're getting a fresh pair.
Yeah, fresh pair of gloves. They come, they check them, they sign them, you know. You have your hands wrapped underneath, so they're like brick fists. You get me? So the transition, there's different levels to it because of obviously a lot, like, you have to build yourself up. I didn't have that opportunity. I probably had it a little bit difficult because I didn't have an opportunity to have a lot of amateur fights because there wasn't many, because women obviously are just like starting to get into the sport of boxing now. When I was amateur, there was hardly no women to fight.
Right. So you have to progress to be able to get access to those fights in the first place.
100%. I was in the gym for 2 years floating. And when I say floating, I mean like there was no fight to me. So I was turning up, doing the graft that everyone did, doing the sprints, doing the sparring. And then I'd be like, coach, any fights? No, there's nothing. And I was like, what am I doing? I'm either going to quit or I'm going to continue and have to turn over. And that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I turned over.
And that's interesting. Again, I won't get into it so early, but again, that mental piece.
Yeah.
Because there's not many people that have got the ability to consistently do something with there being no positive outcome.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm training, I'm giving everything, I'm yeah. making this sacrifice and a compromise. But there's nothing there for me.
100%. You know,
I think that mentally is very hard in terms of like that motivation to get up and do that hard work on a day to day when there's nothing on the horizon. So with you started to explain a bit around the amateur, so you've got your head guards on. What are some of the other things that are kind of some of those define amateur fighting?
Like, so you get standing counts, like, you know, you can hit someone with a good shot. The referee might. Women, it was different. Like, I feel like women's boxing is different now in the pro games,
mm-hmm.
and we get it harder because there's not many, mm-hmm. there's more competitive fights. But in the amateur, I think I have 5 fights, and I thought, like, let's just put it this way, I was quite fit athletically, as in, like, not just physically, but like, I was in the gym a lot. These girls that I were fighting would come in, train, and then just disappear. So a lot of them were quite unfit. Mm-hmm. Do you get me? And obviously, because I'm like quite tall.
Cardio, respiratory point of view, they haven't got that endurance.
Nah, so I was like boxing their heads off. Do you get me?
Mm.
Like, they were quite slow. Like, and then, yeah, my last amateur fight, I think I might have caught a girl with a right hand. It wasn't even a hard right hand, but I had a standing, like, count.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the ref will stand, like, count down. It's a standing count, so you're just waiting there, getting warm, and then, like, yeah, they call it off if they think they don't want to continue.
So for someone who doesn't know what a standing count is, let's just say you land a shot and you can see that it's impacted the person. Maybe they've gone down and then they get back up. The ref will be like, they will do a countdown to kind of check that actually, are you steady on your feet? They're doing a quick assessment. They do that thing with the gloves as well to see.
That's more like the pro style stuff. Okay. So a standing count is like if you're still actually standing.
Okay.
You don't go down. So like amateurs is a bit different because it's like it's amateur for a reason. You're learning.
Right.
You're learning to build up to the pro game.
Right.
So like
don't you explain? You're in a better position.
So yeah. So for example, like in the pro game, if you hit someone and they go down.
Mm.
They have a count to get, right. Like, they have, like, obviously, like, a 10-second count to get back up. So, obviously, if you've been hit with a big shot, your coach will tell you, get your breathing together, like, you're buzzed, so you're not, it's like having vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
So, you stay down, you take a knee, get your breath back, you look around. You've got to convince the ref you're okay. You mm-hmm. could be okay, but if you're looking around and you're buzzed, you'll just go like this.
Mm.
So, you've got to look at your coach. They'll ask you if you're good to continue. You look at the ref, he'll ask you if you're good to continue. Sometimes they ask you to walk forward.
Yeah.
Sometimes they might ask you to say something, and then you've got to, that's an actual proper count. But in the amateurs, you can hit someone with a shot. They could still be standing, but it might buzz them, and then the ref might be a bit like,
ooh. Okay, so it's if they're standing. Startled.
Yeah, do you get me? Yeah, so it's a bit more, especially with the women in the amateurs, it was very like, there wasn't like a lot of aggression. It was more point scoring, so it's kind of like that, like it's athletic,
very technical.
Yeah, so you know fencing,
yeah
where they're like constantly in and out, and mm-hmm. that's kind of like amateur boxing is punching in bunches. It might be 5-6 shots, then you're back out,
mm-hmm.
out of range, back in range, and then
do you have to fight like that, or can you get stuck in?
You can, but like amateur boxing is, they train you to be more like elusive.
There is, so it's a training style.
Is a training.
There's a training style.
It's a training style, yeah, to a degree. And then when you turn over to professional, you're told to sit more on your shots to get mm-hmm. your power, to generate your power.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot more like planted. Do you get what I'm saying? There's a lot of strategies.
Oh yeah, no, I get you. It's the woof woof.
It's the, yeah, it's the bam. You gotta get them shots.
There's almost an essence of less is more. Because
100%. That's a good way to explain it.
You want to land some of the more impactful shots,
cleaner shots,
but don't want to drain yourself, because the worst case scenario is you're halfway for a fight and your gas tank is depleted and you're standing there with no energy. And that the level of fatigue that we're talking about is like, imagine for anyone that's been at the gym, and if you remember like the early days and when you used to when you finish your workout, you're finished, like your legs are shaking, you ain't got nothing left to give. It's like, imagine being in that position,
yeah.
but you've still got to fight someone. and you can see their energy's up.
Listen, I could go in the nitty gritty of how fatigued your body can get, but I don't want to like disturb anyone.
Because I think, let's talk about it. And I think also part of that isn't even just the physical fight, the adrenaline. Because that adrenaline rush takes a lot from you. It takes a lot from you. So being able to kind of manage that mental space, manage that adrenaline rush, whilst also managing tempo in that fight as well, so you last throughout the whole thing. So talk a little bit around that fatigue.
So my first fight was on a world title undercard in Cardiff Motorpoint Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of people, pressers, public weigh-in, live on the zone, millions of people. That part didn't bother me because I don't give a shit about the clout. I'm not in. I don't care. I've been on big stages all my life for other things. You get me? So none of it bothered me. I was like kind of going through the motions. But I'll be real with you, and anyone watching this will probably go and watch my fights. I failed myself on that fight before I even got out there. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it haunts me to this day. But that's what happens when you don't have the adrenaline aspect of things and the mental fatigue. Yeah, I wasn't present. Do you get what I'm saying? Because I wasn't experienced enough to calm myself before entering the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I had like a mini panic attack.
Right.
And it wasn't because I was scared. My preparation for that fight was good. I wasn't even meant to fight on that card. I was still in camp, technically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was a last minute opportunity. No one actually realises it was a last minute opportunity. I took it, yeah.
Especially if you've been waiting around and there hasn't been that many fights.
That was it. So I was meant to fight like 4 weeks later, but I took this opportunity. The mental fatigue with the physical fatigue. Just imagine you put like really strong mints in your mouth. Do you know them really strong ones? And they create that cold feeling.
Yeah.
It's like having that cold feeling and you swallowed the mints and they get stuck and lodged in your chest. And that mint feeling, that cold spearing feeling,
that mental feeling.
Is in your chest and you don't know how to release it. So when you are getting fatigue, it feels like a spearing cold feeling in your chest. Not only that, your whole, as a woman, I'll be real with you. Do you know when you have your period, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And you feel like your whole stomach is like, kind of like just wrenching.
Yeah.
Feels like sometimes it's like, it feels like your whole, it's, your I know it's, I'm getting,
torn off.
You feel like you just like, you need to just lie in a ball because your whole body is just feeling like, that's what you feel in a fight, but you feel like everything is being pulled out of you. So it feels like your whole stomach's gonna drop out your ass, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, been I know there. That's obviously bare graphic, innit? But nah, bro, I swear down.
Talking. It's teammates talking.
It's that's what it feels like. Yeah. It's literally, it's like your body is telling you to quit and your mind is telling you to carry on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going against each other. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So listen, I take my hat off to anyone who does combat sport, bro, because at any level.
Yeah, that it's intense. Like that physical, because most people that have period pains or have experienced that know, like that's debilitating.
Yeah.
So to have to stay in that space, most of us are calling in to work sick.
Do you get it?
But you're in the middle of this ring
with
fighting.
Thousands of people watching you, telling you to throw this, do that.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not pitying myself. It is what it is. I chose this sport.
Yeah.
And I believe the sport chose me as well.
It's the reality of it, though.
The reality of it is it's the nitty gritty.
So, like, what is required and expected of you at pro level that wasn't expected of you in amateurs?
A lot of things. Winning.
Mm-hmm.
It's a business at the end of the day. If you're not marketable, you have to win. Do you get it?
Yeah. So it's kind of like the personality. If you've got that personality type, because that's the marketable side. And if you, not everybody has got that charisma.
Yeah.
So if not, the bet's on the card that you just need to win.
Yeah. Like some people are known as prospects, which means they have like high expectations of them becoming like world champions, going through the ranks. People that have come up like the GB squads, you know?
Yeah.
People that have obviously had a good amateur career. They're known as prospects. They get a contract with like the biggest boxing platforms. They start their career off. They get matchmaking is a big one as well. Shout out to my manager actually, Lee Eaton. He's a G.
I'm like, thinking, who's come through GB that people would know? Like, Anthony Joshua came through GB, innit?
Nicola Adams, yeah. The likes of Lauren Price, she's from Wales.
Yeah.
You know, Caroline Dubois.
Okay. Yeah,
Sandy Ryan, the list goes on. Tasha Jonas. Yeah, there's a lot. The GB thoroughbred, like, you know, it's obviously known to have that, like, repertoire.
Mm.
And don't get me wrong, they are amazing fighters and they have the training and the mental strength and everything. But I didn't have any of that. So, again, not crying about it, but it is a different experience.
It is. And, it's the reality of things.
Yeah.
Because when you come through, there's almost like a pedigree training and a preparation that you're afforded, that when you don't go through that process, you've got to grow and develop in a slightly different way. And it is all about process.
It's about
when you look at any sport or any career in terms of like that personal development and that professional development, it's all a process. And if there's any fundamental pieces that are missing, it then puts a lot of pressure on you to kind of supplement and find different 100%. Ways in that. So, like, what is your overall personal goal as a boxer?
It's changed. It used to be something different. I don't even want to get into what it used to be because I just feel like I've had to make peace with it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
And that's not me not believing in myself. It's just I had different goals. My goal is to inspire the younger generation to make money out of the sport, whether that be on a different professional platform or to continue with the route that I'm going in.
Mm-hmm.
And to always and to always be part of the sport, because I just think it's such a it sounds cringy, but it's a beautiful sport. Like when you get into like the community of it, the family aspect of it. These people I'm in the gym with are my family. Do you get it? Like they're not just random people. Yes, they're my family. They've been there when they don't even know I'm going through shit. My coach is like my dad. Do you get me? I ain't have my dad around. He's like my dad. That's the reality of it. There's been times where I might have texted him and asked him questions. He's quite a matter-of-fact guy. He's not really emotional. But he's been there for me, even when I was at my darkest point. But it's like a little family unit. So
yeah, that club spirit is something else.
It's different.
Club spirit is something. It kind of goes back to, you could trace it back to the old British culture.
That's it. Like,
you know, like,
the grassroots level.
Yeah, I was about to say, do you know what the closest thing that I could equate it to is that old school, there's two things actually. Football club culture and pub culture.
Yeah, like the Del Boys.
Yeah. You get I'm like, when you've got your local pub.
Yeah.
That's a family.
It's a family,
isn't
it? You get
if
me?
Someone comes in and messes with one person, you're messing with everyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Sure. Even Peggy Mitchell behind the bar. Oi, oi, oi!
Get out of my pub. Can't even do it, bro. My little Welsh accent. Get out of my pub.
Yeah, like, you know, and it's similar again. Like I said, there are a few pockets of old British culture where you can see that mentality of grouping together. Even
100%.
It's strange to kind of compare it to, but you see like old school gangsters, old school British gangsters. Again, they've got that real tight-knit community. Yeah. Like if you fuck with one of us.
Yeah, it's like the Kray Twins
vibe, isn't it?
I know what you're saying though. It's grassroots level. Like obviously boxing is not known as a rich sport. It's not like it's tennis or it's like,
sport, isn't it?
So you got people coming in that have, you know, no money and no idea of where they want to go in life. It's a family unit. It helps people. I only got back into boxing because I was depressed, bruv. Like, I was 15 stone 9. I was massive. I got a photo on my phone.
No
you wouldn't
way.
Believe it. No one's seen it as well.
Can I have a look?
Yeah.
Go on.
I'll show you.
It's crazy. You know, and it's funny. My next question was going to be around kind of like your entry point. Where was you at? What was the motivation and that?
I'll show you now.
Yeah.
Because I just think this is...
I can't believe it. No, I don't think anyone would believe that because you're trim.
Yeah,
your trim.
It's crazy. I wasn't before, you know.
Yeah, was that something that's been the case throughout life? Have you always you were a chubby one growing up, or did you just put weight, or there was a period of time where you just kind of ballooned up?
Yeah, I did. Sorry, I'm trying to find it. I ballooned up. I started to drink, and I was in a bad relationship, and I started to obviously DJing and stuff. I just didn't find my balance.
Right.
I'm trying to find this photo for you so you could see. Oh, there we go.
No way.
Yeah. And could you see there was like no colour in me as well? I looked like I had some sort of like liver disease or something. Like no
and
joke.
Do you know what? Do you know what stands out for me in this? I'm looking at your eyes.
Yeah, like, they're soulless, isn't it?
Bro, you look sad. You look
yeah,
sad.
Yeah, I was really depressed, man. I went through a really bad relationship breakup. Mm. And I had no confidence. I was lacking in like everything. I got back into the gym just for my mental health.
Yeah. I've got to ask you, did you put weight on within that relationship?
Within the relationship, but then the person like started to kind of point out things about me.
Because I think that's a very difficult thing. I just want to quickly touch on like putting weight on in a relationship. Because when you first get with someone, you feel like the guy because now you're getting this attention and this person wants you, you're desired and you're feeling really sexy in some kind of ways. And like when sex is in the role, it comes into play and it's like this person wants to rip your clothes off. Like that can really do some work wonders for someone's confidence and self-perception. But when your body starts to change and you're thinking, well, the person was attracted to this.
Yeah.
And I'm moving slowly further away, and then you're in your boxes and you see the muffin top start to come about. Yeah. And you know the bit that hangs out the back of your sports bra?
Yeah.
And the belly's looking a bit more donut-y. Like that does, I can't speak for feminine women. I know it will affect them, but I can only speak from like a masculine point of view.
Yeah.
Like, it plants that seed of doubt. It starts 100%. To plant that seed. And it's, you know, there's going to be other people that might turn their heads.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So I just wanted to kind of touch on that because it's not easy when that happens.
Yeah, and I do want to say before I get into it, please believe you have to be like right within. Do you get what I'm saying? It can't. It's got to be an external to external. It's got to be outwards, inwards, not like the other way around. Because I've had body dysmorphia since our relationship, and I've lost weight. And I could show you another photo. I went down to 11 stone 1. It's the smallest I've been since high school. I had no body fat, and I'm talking like no body fat. I had a full six pack and everything. I still felt big. I still didn't feel confident. I still would kind of be like weird about taking my clothes off. Do you get it? So like I just feel like you gotta align your mindset with your body as well, because we see it with like, unfortunate, it's sad, it's really sad. People have like, you know, eating disorders and things like that. The way their mind is telling them that they're a certain way. And that can happen with like you said, it could take that one person to say, make a comment about you or for you to let yourself go. And then all of a sudden you're lost in the body fat and then you're like, oh my God, how do I get to it? But then you're just eating more, drinking more.
Yeah. It's that cycle.
And it's like, for me, I train people a lot and I don't do it for the money. Like, I really don't. Like, I do it because I want to actually see people thrive, like get to a confident place in their lives. So like for me, I'm like, listen, do the boxers diet, but do it in a way where it's going to sustain like a healthy path. Because like I lost weight so quick. It was like 1 minute I was like 50 stone 9, next minute I was like 12 stone something.
That's a head fuck.
Yeah.
Because if you've seen yourself, let's just say for argument's sake, you were 15 stone for 2 years now, and you've lost that, say, in 6 months.
Yeah.
Right? You've had more time seeing yourself in that way than you have smaller. So your mind hasn't really had time to catch up
to catch up,
body.
Yeah.
And that body dysmorphia thing, that I battle with that.
Yeah.
Bro. My self-perception of how I see myself is so distorted.
Yeah.
So distorted. And do you know what really triggered me? And this is really recent. Like, it all started around Christmas time. Christmas just gone. So I've been battling with some health stuff. It's been real hard work. And I hadn't had any medication.
Right.
But it got to a point where I was saying, I need something to kind of alleviate these symptoms.
Yeah, your body's telling
you. This is not right.
Yeah.
So they gave me some prednisone, which is a steroid-based medication.
Okay, so it made you put on weight or something, did it?
Fam!
Yeah.
So, firstly, my boobs doubled in size.
Right.
And the feminization of a masculine person's body, it's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
I was like, and they were killing me, bro. They were killing me. They were hurting so bad. And I'm like, nah, like, my t-shirt's moving mad. Like, it's... the things ain't looking right as
it usually is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was the first thing. And then I started to get insomnia. Okay. So I go to bed about 10:30, 11-ish, and I'm going to bed like 2 or 3. And that lack of sleep isn't great.
No.
If that's happening to me 3-4 times in a week, that's like a couple of days worth of sleep down.
100%. Not only that, your body's not able to actually sleep. So important. Like, your body's not able to like shift the water weight, the weight, recover. Like, sleep is like the biggest one. So you had all the odds stacked against you with them.
Everyone knows I'm a sleeper. I'm a sleeper. Like, yeah, I go to bed 10:30, 11, and I'm waking up at 7 in the morning.
Shit,
and
man.
I'm going into a deep sleep and I'm dreaming and stuff. So then you get water retention.
That's it, yeah.
Fam. And then you also experience muscle loss.
Yeah.
And anyone that knows me knows I'm into the gym. I put the work in. So when I'm seeing that my gains just slipping away, and then it gives you an increased appetite because of the cortisol levels.
Yeah.
I said then like my face has got a bit round as well with it. And I'm just thinking to myself,
crazy man.
This is crazy because this is making me put on weight, lose muscle, and it's making me starving, hungry, like ravenous.
So what do you do? Do you come off the medication?
So luckily I've had to start from about 2 weeks ago. I had to start tapering it because you can't just stop
the dosage.
So you've got to take less and less milligrams
because it's a steroid based thing. You can't just go cold.
Yeah, because it'll just, your body will go into shock and it will start fucking up. So yesterday was my first day having not taken any steroids, fam. Yeah. I felt so happy, and I've got other kind of, I've built in some natural supplements to
I've been, listen,
it's like I've got a whole little section now of different things that work on my immune system, that's working on cell rejuvenation and stuff like that, muscle and bone protection, because these steroids,
the cell rejuvenation thing, but like, this is, it ain't a joke.
Trust me,
I've watched a couple of podcasts recently about stuff like that as well. It's crazy where your body can repair itself. Because I've had injury after injury, and I'd be here all day talking about that.
Yeah.
But it's, trust me, sleep is so important. Like,
I
was someone that never used to go sleep either. I was stuck in like an insomnia mode for months. Do you get it? Months, like.
It's stressful, man, because when you're awake and you're trying to get to sleep, that thought process that you get into is,
it's like you're trying to then go sleep, and then all of a sudden it's making it worse for you,
because you're thinking about tomorrow and the impact it's gonna have on you, and it's a really difficult space. And I've never had insomnia, like, I'm telling you, no exaggeration, 60 seconds from my head being down, I'm gone, and I'm gone till tomorrow.
That's like, good though. CBD as well, man.
I
swear by it. Supreme CBD though, like, there's a couple of brands I've tried,
right?
Supreme CBD is made by an ex pro boxer, Anthony Fowler. I hit him up and said, like, my mental health was kind of dipping. And I never tried the CBD stuff before.
Right. Anyone that doesn't know what it is, because, all right, so if you think about the cannabis plant, you've got two key active ingredients. You've got THC, which is stuff that makes you feel lean up. And then you've got the CBD extract, which is the more healing property. So, you know, when they talk about weed having medicinal purposes,
that's
the more medicinal side, and it just to kind of unpack it a little bit. But I want to get into, like, when you were saying why you got into boxing, so what was going on, and what was that trigger point that made you say, right, I'm going down the gym, let's get this, just let me try.
This is how it started in a nutshell. I was in, like, I think it was like Pure Gym or DW or something like that. And they had like one of the boxing sections. And back then, this is when I was like quite big, you know. So I didn't have much confidence to even like jump on a bag as well. I ain't done it like in a couple of years. I was a bit like, oh, I had mitt gloves, like really thin mitt gloves. So I was just hitting it lightly and stuff. And this one old geezer started just coming to the gym. And he starts watching me for a couple of days. And I'm like thinking, what's this guy staring at? You know, like sometimes, like, and again, I don't want to seem like I'm being offensive when I say this, but men tend to have this thing that they like to watch women box, and they they'll come over to you and they'll say, oh, do this or do this. But we're like, I'm at a level now where I'm like, yeah, I'm doing me. So just, but I get it a lot. If I'm in like a normal gym and I'm on like a boxing like part, those people will come over to me. But anyway, back to the story is that this guy was coming over to me and he said, he said, oh, have you boxed before? And I said, oh yeah, back in the day. But I said, I'm just coming in to do it for fitness, like, and to get my weight down. And he was like, oh, okay. He said, oh, take my number and we'll do some pad work. I said, oh, okay, cool.
Mm.
So this guy now is an ex, like, pro boxer. Like, his son's a box. Like, he had a problem with his heart. He was, like, in the gym all the time. But they told him, look, you would have, like, major health problems if you don't train. So he's training me on the pads and he'd have to stop and, like, do this with his heart. And he was like, look, like, I want to train you, but I'm, like, in a bad way. He's like, but I'm going to give you a number to my nephew who runs a gym. That was that. Right. I get into this amateur gym in Barrie, you know, Barrie Island, where, like, what's that show? Gavin and Stacey.
I've heard, I wouldn't say I know too much about it, but yeah.
But it's like a little, like, you know, island. And I went to the gym on the island. And my first coach, shout out to Alan Lam, his name. He's a really nice guy, selfless, you know, that community spirit. Took me under his wing, and that's where it started. I got a few fights with him. And then it went on from there. And then I was hungry for it. Then I was like, okay, I've started now. I can't stop.
Mm. At what point did you know you were good? Or you had potential at least?
Yeah, that's it. Mm. Potential. Because I look back now and I'm like, rah, like, I was dead form, dead this. Boxing, you never stop learning. Mm-hmm. Even now, I'm still like a student. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, but at that point, I felt I had something. Didn't know what it was, and I was getting told I could be something.
Mm.
But again, I didn't want to take that and run with it because I knew that it's a hard sport.
Yeah.
So it was only until, to wrap it up, in the lockdown, I'd started to, like, kind of do the boxing, and in the lockdown, one of the pro boxing gyms where I'm at now, what, like, obviously you wasn't allowed to train, but the pro professionals were, because legally it's a job, so they could still go to work, so they were still allowed in the gym. So I had basically shouted one of my friends who was training with the pros, and she was like, come down. So I did when it opened back up just after the lockdown, and started to do the amateurs there. And I was like, I really want to speak to Tony Borge, who's my trainer now. Because he was training like world professional fighters and stuff. And I was like, if I chat to him and he says I'm not good enough, I'm quitting. That was it for me.
Mm.
So it was... no one knew, but in my head, I'd come to the term, I would come to peace with it. If he was to turn around and say, listen, you're not good enough, or I don't think I could take you on, I would have just humbly just deaded it and just gone back to doing whatever I was doing. But he did a couple of sessions with me and basically invited me to train with the pros.
Mm.
So then I was like, this is the turning point for me. There's no going back now.
Mm.
I was in it now. So then... a year later, I'd gone from 14 stone 9, I was big again, all the way down to like below 12 stone, lost all the weight, was turning up, getting my professional license in place, had my meeting, and then he was like, it's gonna come quick, like you gotta be prepared for it. The next thing you know, I was fighting, so yeah.
Maximum respect for you, man.
Thank you.
You could have just sat on the sofa eating Greggs.
Sometimes I wish I could, and sometimes I do. I just
But do you get what I'm saying? You could have been at 15 stone and just let it spiral.
Yeah,
because there are a lot of people out there that there are moments where they felt the motivation, but they didn't run with it. And it's not a critique of them, because everyone's got their own process and their own timing.
100%.
Yeah. But it's like you got sick and tired.
Yeah.
You know, so like, what are your boxing stats at the minute? Because like, everyone has their boxing stats, their win to losses and stuff like
so
that.
So for me, I'm 1-1. So on my professional debut, I fought this girl called Esther Kanecha.
That's a fabulous name.
Yeah, it's a really nice name. But anyway, I fought this girl. She was from, I think, Bulgaria. So if I can just quickly explain. In the sport of professional boxing, you have what you describe as a journeyman and a journeywoman. So they're boxers that are on the road fighting for money. So they are ultimately there for you to kind of get certain fights at certain levels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a little bit of a setup, even though they're still fighting. It's like when you start, you're getting the rounds in, so you're learning. So they're not going to put you up against someone that's like, I'd 16 fights and won 16.
Mm-hmm.
They'll put you up with someone with a record that's obviously like more losses than wins.
Mm-hmm.
So then obviously I had an opponent and she basically stepped in as a replacement. I didn't really know much about her. I watched her fight, thought, oh, she's all right. But it's not till I got into the ring, and I get, like I said earlier in the podcast, I let myself down in the first fight, ultimately. But she wasn't an easy opponent. She was quite tricky. She moved a lot. So I fought her twice. And the reason why I fought her twice is because, obviously, I didn't perform the way I wanted in my first fight. I lost on points. I was devastated. I was heartbroken. I didn't leave my house for a week. Mm. My mental health was almost spiraling. And I got back up and I went back to training and I adjusted and then corrected things and I went and beat her. Because I was like, this is my journey. You ain't stopping me from continuing my path.
Vindicated.
So I avenged my loss. And now for my next fight, I have to put on a performance. It is pressure. Mm. I know this pressure.
Mm. My next question was, do you remember your most difficult fight? And I think in some ways it could probably was that terms of the impact.
Just
that
myself.
So,
do you get me?
And then my following question is, I think we started to tap into it, but I think we can lean into it a little bit more. You know, how does it feel after a loss in the ring? And what is your process to kind of manage your mental health? So it's kind of, I guess we could look at it as after you had that loss.
Yeah.
And you saw how it could really affect you. What have you learned in terms of, okay, I would do these things differently?
Loads of things. First of all, I need to take a breath for this one. Because it takes me back, emotionally takes me back.
Mm.
First of all, get a good team around you that won't just disappear when you've lost your fight or you've lost in general, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Get a good team around you because people are out to be clout chasers and they want to be around you when you're up and don't want to be around you when you're down. So for me, it's having a good team, having a good set of friends, and realizing that you matter. Like, just a loss doesn't define you. Do you get what I'm saying? You matter. If you want to continue, you continue. Don't let anyone tell you different because it doesn't define you. And for your mental health, just know that these feelings will pass. Because when I was in the moment, I felt like my world was ending. I didn't even want to go to the corner shop because just in case anyone recognized me.
That's
how bad it was. I felt ashamed. I felt embarrassed, ashamed. Mm. I felt like a letdown to everyone, to myself. Mm. I felt humiliated, really bad. Because it was on such a massive platform and, you know, like, I felt good. Like, I just, fight week, I felt good. I thought I was going to be the one on top, the one that was victorious. But it's boxing, it happens. Like, you see it all the time, it happens.
Did you feel like at that point that you lost a bit of respect for yourself?
Yeah. I didn't know who I was. I was like, okay, where do I go? Hard. Where do I go now?
Mm.
I was like, I've had smoke blown on my ass. I've had people tell me you're going to be the next this and next. Did I believe it at the time? That's the biggest question I had.
Mm.
I had to really dig deeper myself again and rebuild myself. I was like, I was doing all the work. Like, I was like really doing the work the second time around.
Mm.
I was listening to podcasts. I was going for walks. I was trying to align myself in my mental space.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I lost a lot of respect for myself, 100%.
That's a really difficult space when you lose that. When you feel that you lose respect for yourself and you feel humiliated and you feel that you let people down, those three things can drag you down so quickly. Yeah. And it is like a spiral.
100%.
It's like if you were to look at someone who's a swimmer, right, and you know, people that jump off the springboard,
yeah,
and you see how far they go down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like that. Just pull that gravity. Just pull.
Is it imposter syndrome? I don't know if medically, is that what it is? Like, when you feel like you're not good enough to be there.
Do you know? Could be. Yeah. I think imposter syndrome is there when you do deserve to be there. Because sometimes you can feel like you don't deserve to be there, and you don't.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You know, and it's like you're not ready yet.
Yeah.
But if you deserve to be there, you've earned it.
Yeah.
And you still got this doubt, like, am I really?
Yeah.
That's when I think the imposter syndrome kind of kicks in.
100%.
So what conversations are you having with yourself in the midst of a fight? Because a controlled fight is different to a scrap.
100%.
When you're scrapping, the conversation you're having with yourself is, get that four.
Yeah.
Get them. Get them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's a lot more irrational. It's a lot more emotional. And street fights or a brawl don't last very long. Yeah. In the grand scheme of it, it all happens and ends very, very quickly.
Yeah, of course. Chaotic. It's like boom, boom, boom. Yeah. Like, and then you're running in different directions.
Yeah, you're scattering like ants.
Yeah.
But in this kind of context, what are some of the conversations that you're having with yourself?
I mean, do you want me to base it off my last fight?
Yeah,
so I can
yeah,
take
yeah.
you back.
Yeah.
Oh my, I remember like my inner voice. That's how crazy it was on my last fight. I think it was like round two. I was telling myself, you don't fucking give up. You don't give up. You feel like I could feel myself, like I was focusing. I was losing it at some points. She was smothering my work. Like when I say smothering my work, I mean, she was like, she was putting her weight on me. I couldn't get my shots off, as in I couldn't punch. Mm-hmm. So I was like, right, reset. It's important in boxing to reset, because you got it. There's tactical things to do. But I was telling myself, do not fucking give up. Like you can't, you just can't give up. You're going to fight this out and you're going to get a win. Mm-hmm. Every time I go back to the corner, I was just the emotion. I lost my friend as well. My best friend died that year in 2022. My best friend passed away. And I hadn't dealt with that trauma. I hadn't dealt with that like loss. I was in camp going back into another fight. Mm. So in the fight, the release of losing my friend all come out as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was fighting the same opponent. I couldn't lose.
Mm.
Like I didn't give a shit. I didn't want to hear people go. My mum was saying to me, oh, you know, if you lose, it's not the end of the world. Like, you know,
you ain't trying to hear none of that.
I ain't trying to hear it. Mm. I didn't care. I was so abrupt to my mum, and I'm not like that with my mum. I'm very respectful. Like, I didn't want to hear it. So for me, my inner voice was the only voice I wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm. It's a controlled environment.
It's a controlled environment. Yeah. That's it. It was my voice and no one else's voice, and that's what I lacked in the first fight.
Mm.
Do you get me? Because people were screaming at me. I had all types of voices, famous voices I could hear.
Mm.
Do this, do like Essex accents. Mm. Do this, do that. I was like, whoa, 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 and I didn't back myself enough.
Mm-hmm.
You got to back yourself. It's a lonely sport.
There's a learning in that. A learning for everyone here, for all of us. You've got to tune the noise out and
that's
focus
it.
In. You've got like your inner voice has got to be the loudest voice in the room.
Yeah.
In most scenarios.
Yeah.
That's grounding.
You and your coach. That's it for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's that. And you know, I think you could extend it to maybe the most influential person in your life, whoever is in your corner. That'll be my mum.
That's it, yeah, of course. That's gone.
That's the grounding, because it always brings you back to center. It's always just that the repetition, because it's all about repetition and that's reminding it. Yourself of what's right, who you are, why I'm here, what's important, how much this means to you, and prepared to leave it all on the line.
Trust me.
You know, I really hear that. And I, you know, we've only just met. This is the first time that we're interacting.
Yeah.
But I feel deeply proud of you.
Appreciate because, it, man.
I know there's been times where my mum, for the best reasons, has maybe said something and it's going against my spirit of...
Yeah.
Because I've got a warrior spirit. Yeah. My ancestral line are warriors.
You do give off that like it's that spiritual energy. I say that spiritual energy because you can't really put your finger on it.
Yeah,
but your presence is big. You get me?
No, I feel,
you feel that.
And the leader of that tribe was a woman.
Yeah,
right. So there is something in me where I'm just built a certain way. I can't.
Yeah,
it's not something that can be switched on or switched off. Because if I could, then life would be a lot easier in terms of how I feel in myself.
Yeah.
Whether that be the frustration, whether it be that sense of leadership in that I feel like this is on me to make it right or for me to do something.
Yeah, you're kind of
for
putting
me
it
to achieve.
You're putting it all on your shoulders,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
And I feel it, and I can't take that back. I cannot not be this driven or motivated person.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, I don't know any other way. And it comes from something deep in me. And my mum, she's very driven, but it's in a very different way.
Way.
And so when she might say, you know, Meg, you know, just relax. You know, she always says, just relax. I'm like, what do you mean relax?
Yeah, because it's going against what you... Yeah. I understand that. That hit different for me.
Yeah, and it's there's certain things, and I'm thinking to myself, if I did that, that would kill my spirit.
Yeah.
I'm like, that right there, like, I'm not... As you said, I ain't trying to hear none of that.
100%, like 100%. I get it with my mum as well. Yeah. Like, you know, she lives her life the way she lives her life. Mm. And respectfully, like, she would never... If she was to walk a day in my shoes, she'd be like, whoa,
yeah,
this is crazy. Mm. So, like, when I hear her advice to me, it's sometimes not... Like, she's a beautiful person. I love her. She's my mum. But sometimes I'm like, nah, like, I don't need to hear that. Like, I need to hear this. Do you get me? But that's the difference. Like,
it's like wearing shoes that don't fit. That's size.
It. Do you get me?
And it's pressing your toes. Pressing your feet. And you're like, nah, I need to get this off. I can't do this.
That's it. Do you get me?
What keeps you committed and coming back? Because the average person... Let them fill one hot box and they're like, no. Yeah. Wait. No. It's not even worth it.
Yeah.
What keeps you coming back?
I ask myself this all the time. Mm. Sometimes I don't even know what it is. It's a spiritual thing. I really believe that your path is written for you. And sometimes you can try and go off it, but it's going to gravitate you towards the things that... It's a passion. I love it. It gives me purpose. So I guess that's the main thing, is purpose. Mm. And I'm in love with the sport. I'm a big fan of the sport. And I just feel like I want to make an impact, and it's in me to continue and to strive. I get my days, don't get me wrong. I do get my days when I feel like I want, like, what am I doing? Mm. Like, why am I doing
this? A very sober mindset.
What am I doing? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's the other things that are involved in it, the politics, the money, the this, that. Like, what are you doing? I'm tired sometimes. Like, I don't want to get up in the morning to go for a run or go to the gym, or like, sometimes I'm like, why am I in this? But for some reason deep in my soul, I continue. Do you get me? I'm just not. That's it.
My route's different because my background and my career is in HR.
Mm-hmm.
And although it's not physically dangerous, it, in the corporate world, it's emotionally and mentally dangerous.
Yeah,
because it is savage.
Yeah,
you have to take some disrespect and people. When you're up, everyone's singing your name. Then you make a mistake or do something, and everybody's criticizing you. Yeah. And it's really hard. And I started that when I was 23, 22, 23. And as a baby in that jungle, and nobody wants to give you an inch. Nobody wants to give you an inch. And no one really believed in me like that. And it broke my spirit a number of times. If I'm honest, I've been on the floor crying with certain things. Or you've made a mistake, and that gut-wrenching feeling where you can't even think about how you're going to recover from that.
100%.
Like, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over. It's done. And I've had my mum holding me on the floor, and I'm crying, and I'm just embarrassed or whatever it might be. And there's something in me, I can't stop. And I had a certain goal.
That's it.
And I reached the goal, and I'm happy I done. And it was hard once I reached the goal, because I went into a bit of a depression because I didn't know what was next.
Yeah.
But there's a savagery in that drive.
Stipping you
know? And it's like, you're going to have to kill me to stop me.
You know the vibes?
It's that deep that you're going to have to kill me to stop me. And I think that... Not everyone experiences that inner feeling.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and if they do, it might be later on in their journey or whatever. Mm. Like, everyone's on their own journey and own path, and it's hard sometimes. Like you said, it's like it's like a rare feeling, isn't it? Like, a lot of my friends can't relate to what I do. And do you know what? It's a good thing you've give your example of like HR, and that people talk about boxing, but it's like, it's not just about what you're doing; it's about life. It's how you can come and get, it's adversities in life. Do you get what I'm saying?
Whether
it's HR, whether it's boxing, whether it's this, whether it's that. That's why, like, I just live my life showing everyone respect, like, because I just believe that, like, everyone's going through it, like, not just me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get a day and I feel sorry for myself, I'm like, why not laugh?
Do you know what I will say, though? I think there's a certain type of person that's just wired in a certain way, because we would apply this to anything. It doesn't matter if it just so happened that I focused on HR. But if you give me anything and I care about it enough,
you'll make it.
It's that
something.
Feeling look comes up again. This feeling comes again.
Yeah.
That savage feeling of, okay, I want to dominate.
Yeah.
I want to push this as far as I can. Yeah. I want to pull this thing to the wall come off.
It's a special setting. It is a special setting. It's a different way to tap into yourself, I think.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of work.
But it takes a lot of rest. Yeah. Because you burn out.
But it's good because, like, obviously you're giving your viewers an insight of my thing. But at the same time, I believe that everyone can tap in.
Absolutely.
And, like, anyone watching this as well would be like, okay, well, how can I do it? I feel like shit. You can tap in. Everyone's got to start somewhere. Like, trust me, I feel like I need to show that photo now just to show people, look, you can do it. I might even put on my socials,
do
to be
it.
Honest.
Then I do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Because the thing is, everyone has got the capability.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing... I understand where I'm coming from when I say it. Everybody has the capability. But the reality of it is not everybody's going to arrive. Because for example, everybody could run 100 miles, given you haven't got a health condition. And that's take yeah, those yeah, things yeah, yeah. out. But not everybody's going to run those 100 miles.
100%.
And it's the thing, who reaches the first mile, who reaches the first five, who reaches the 10. And people drop out of different things. But there's something. But just because maybe you've done the first 5 miles and you drop out again, do you know what? Just go and do 5 miles. 5 miles 1 meter,
yeah,
and then 5 miles 2 meter.
That's
and
it.
And you
yeah.
just keep building it,
chipping
keep...
away at it. Consistency, innit? But there's something else. This is a little certain.
There's something special there.
Do you get me?
There's a certain grit and savagery in certain people where it's like,
yeah.
No, but I think it's just because even for example, if you put me in a fighting situation, I might not be. I'm not a big person. I've got a small frame. I'm 5 foot five and a half. I'm not a big person. Right, but at that same token, I will say this, that you're contending with my spirit.
Yeah,
that's what it is. It's like my spirit,
different type of energy though. That's where your mindset is.
And there's something about leadership and dominance.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, when it's like the idea that I have to submit to someone.
You're not submissive, then, is it? Is that what you're saying?
I feel like I'm being suffocated.
Yeah,
that's what it is. I feel like I'm being suffocated, and the thing that's in me is being. It's gonna sound crazy, but it feels like there's someone trying to destroy this little thing in me by forcing me to do what they want, and I'm like, no,
to conform. And I guess that takes a lot of willpower, then, because you said like obviously the HR, like giving your experience as well, like people the meat, like in them type of jobs. People can say certain things. Language is powerful, yeah?
Mm.
They can say certain things that cannot be offensive, but you know it's offensive.
Yeah, you know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And you know them ones. It's like, you can't prove it, but it's like there. Do you get me?
Mm-hmm.
That's the... Oh, that riles you. Like, you'd want to just...
Cut? Oh, listen. And because it's corporate...
Because it's corporate as well.
It's corporate, and the thing is, like, the only way I could, if I tell you, like, I weigh 10 stone three,
yeah,
right? And most people would think I weigh less than that, right? But there's something in me that I'm just heavy, I'm just hefty kind of person. And it's like half of these Egypts, you got Claire and Sally firing shots. And I said, if I ever today,
oh my
days. And the thing is, whether that's with force or whether that's with my mouth, I'm like, I could tell you something and you would never forgive me. Like, my words,
power of the tongue, though, man.
But you know what I'm saying? And it's like, it does happen, and it's taught me discipline.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
know how to hold disrespect, and I'm like, you know what you're doing, I know what you're doing, I know exactly what the fuck this is, right? And we know the dynamics. If we even step out round the corner,
yeah,
it's a rappelina for everybody. But
you ain't gonna...
But the thing is, it's the discipline of understanding. I know why I'm here. Like I said, I had a goal.
Yeah,
and you're not gonna draw me up out of myself now and compromise everything. And knowing that you're holding on to your goal and holding on to your dream, and you're holding all of this bullshit, and I'm like,
that's it. So it ultimately lies with you.
That training is impeccable, because it's very difficult for someone to draw me out. If I decide that I'm gonna get active, it's a conscious choice.
Yeah.
You know,
not everyone's got that self control, innit?
But I learned through corporate.
Yeah.
All of those draw outs, all of the belittling,
I remember my call center jobs, boy.
They treat you like shit.
Listen, it's from the minute I was getting caught, like, I used to work in Vodafone and that.
Oh, yeah.
Dead. Like, sorry that anyone that works in Vodafone, I don't mean no disrespect, but I rate you for them type of job, because the calls you would have were just. just madness.
I wanted to ask you actually, and we're wrapping up anyway, but there's a few things that I want to get in. You just simply through being a boxer, you and the fact that you're also a DJ,
yeah,
right? So it's not like you're living a solitary life. You're outside as well.
Yeah.
You must be contending with people's egos all the time, especially if they know that you're a boxer. So I just wanted to tap into what, how does that show up in life? Do you get people trying to test your gangster, trying to see?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like the best question you could have asked me.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Let's go.
Okay, I'll give you an example. When I had my first fight, I didn't have time to wallow in my self-pity. I was back to work the next week, worried, still having recovered mentally, and I was dealing with misogynistic people and their little opinions with their pint in their hand or their double vodka and coke or their bottles, trying to tell me what I should have done in the fight, or you'll be back, condescending, or you should do this, you should do that, or why don't you do this, or are you going to continue to box all the for months. Like, that could have broke me in itself. Mm-hmm. Like, no, like, I got so sick of it. But now, I'm like, I just smile and I just come back with something sarcastic to him. Mm. Whereas before, I was like, yeah, I'm going to box. What? I was on, like, defensive mode, but almost cared what they were saying. Mm. And there's a lot of that because people get brave through drink.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I'm saying? Mm. So people will give their 2p. And it's not like I can hide behind my desk in work or deal with it in the gym and have my little solitude life. Okay, let's just deal with this and reset. I'm going into a nightclub where I'm seeing people that they think that they can come and chat to me. And that's another thing in the nightclub industry as well. People think you're accessible, like they know you, but they don't know you.
Yeah.
So they feel like they know you. So they feel like they have a comfortability to tell you about what they think and feel and what you should do.
Mm. And you know, I think there's this competitiveness amongst studs. I was just talking with my brethren Taylor, big up yourself T, and there is this it's super competitive, and I could just imagine that. I can't look.
I hate that little man.
Yeah,
it is
shitty. And on a one-to-one basis, most studs are absolutely cool, but there's something
about this is a little bit of a barrier you gotta break down, innit? I get it, protect your energy and that,
but I could only but imagine how that might cause some controversy in terms of like someone thinking, oh yeah, you think you're hard, or
that's another aspect of it. I was just going off on a tangent about people being condescending and putting it, but in another aspect, yeah, of course. I've had people like in certain events, like studs and that, try to step to me and things like that. And I'm a friendly person, innit? I might be smiling at you, but like, I'll go up to you and be like, you're fit, sick.
Yeah.
I'll be like, you're good looking. Do you get me? Like, I'll give credit where it's due.
Mm.
Do you get me? At the end of the day, we are women, innit?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Masculine presenting women, but we're women. I will give, like, my friend Rox, you did an interview.
Yeah.
Baddest looking stuff. I always tell her, listen, she's fire, bruv. Mm. Do you get me? But she's got an amazing personality to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably spoke about it with you. It's the jealousy thing, innit? So people were like, especially with the boxing, people try to come at me and be like, or list, and I'm like, dead.
Yeah,
one, I'm not going to do anything because this is a professional sport. And two, let's not get into number two, innit?
Yeah, it's not good for anyone.
It's just not good for no one, innit?
Yeah, and you know when you're trying to be a better person.
Exactly.
So I was going to ask you, have you had a situation where you nearly lost your head?
Yeah.
Yeah? And what do you do at that point to rein it back in?
Self-control in general, because of obviously, like, you learn it every day in the gym when you're getting hit and you got to control your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes I spar and I'm really close to tears because I feel like that overwhelming feeling. And I realized that outside of the gym and everyday life, when people try to test me, it's like you got to let it go. It's a them problem. Obviously, if someone's directly trying to threaten me and stick it on me and I have to defend myself, that's a different story.
Mm.
But people do that. People do that weird shit all the time because they're insecure and they're just jealous.
And more time they're not serious.
And more time they're not serious.
They're not. I'm like, listen. You see, when it starts to get on top now and pressure starts to be applied, what that could look like in real time, most people, including me, I wouldn't want it. Yeah. Do you get where I'm coming from? Because it's not.
it's the calm ones you gotta watch. You know them ones that they're like, what, what, and they're jumping around and they're going all wilding out, and then you see someone calm there, like, they're the ones you gotta watch.
But you see, even if you, even if that emotional person does want to throw hands, the thing is, they're gonna be really sloppy with the way that they're throwing arms and all that. They're the type of person to throw a throw a punch and put so much put so much spinning in, and they spin around or they fall over or you just slip it. And
I
they
need
just
to
fall
watch
on the floor.
That that what is it called again? Street something.
Street beefs.
I need to watch beefs because that's the type of entertainment.
Like, do you know where I'm coming from? Like, you, it's that, it's that kind of emotionalness that actually makes you lose form and you're not actually. It's not nice.
It's not good for anyone, though, is it really? Like,
yeah. I wanted to, and last question I wanted to end on. Which athletes inspire you the most? And that's across sports.
Oh, my days. Do you know what? It's like you're a psychic or something. Because I was watching this, the film, King, Serena, Serena Williams and Venus Williams' father. Have you seen the show?
No.
Have you seen the film, sorry?
No.
Yo, listen, it'll inspire you on a different level. It's about them. Obviously, and how they started in tennis, being black.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they come from nothing. Their father, like, their mum and their father were both, like, tennis players, but they obviously didn't have the, like, you know, the startup like you would if you were rich and white, basically. And it tells you the story about Venus and Serena and how they faced so much adversity and become the best athletes in the world. Them two inspire me the most. Them two are probably... Them two, Kobe. Mm-hmm. I've got a tattoo of Kobe Bryant on my leg, actually.
Because
I used to be into, like, basketball. I thought I wanted to be a basketball player. Not anymore. Mm-hmm. Not like it, but. And then, obviously, like, the boxing, like, greats.
Mm-hmm.
But Venus and Serena, for me, probably the GOATs. Just because it's not, like fire. I said, it's not about the sport. It's just, it's how they just, how they become legacies and they're black as well in them times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, it just makes you feel like when you watch them films, you can do anything, innit?
Yeah.
You just feel like,
very
yeah.
Very inspiring.
It's a crossover. It doesn't have to be the same sport. I just felt inspired. I was like, I'm ready to go again now. I found my spark.
Do you know what? That thing that translates to most people, but when it's athlete to athlete,
yeah,
it hits differently.
Yeah.
It does.
There's a different type of respect.
There we go. That's exactly the word I was going to say.
Yeah.
Do you know what I thought was really interesting? Do you know who I like?
Yeah.
You know, Anne Wolfe.
Anne Wolfe. Anne Wolfe's a G.
Anne Wolfe is the one, you know.
I think I mentioned it in like a few of my interviews and stuff. Them type of legacy fighters, you know.
Yeah. I mean, like Anne. But do you know what really upset me the other day?
Jane Crouch as well.
Do you know what really, really upset me the other day? I have to reposition myself for this one. Because I like Clarissa Shields.
Yeah.
I do. But I didn't like how she wanted to stab that guy after getting knocked out the other day in a sparring match. Like that.
It's a lot of controversy. Well, I don't.
Do you know what? We will never know what happened.
Yeah,
because she was saying that there was something iffy about the gloves and all of this stuff. And we'll never really know. But the handling of it.
Because
you, as a fighter, she's so gifted.
So gifted.
And so unique in her technical ability and how she fights. Gifted. I'm like, look. And on top of that, you're one of the most famous boxers in the world.
There's young kids and everything that's inspired
I'm
to
like,
be you.
And the thing is, I know she's from Detroit, innit?
Yeah.
She's from Detroit. So she's from the trenches, yeah?
Yeah, she is.
So I understand that sometimes, like, you're raring and how you've raised, that will come into play. You can't always separate everything. You can't compartmentalise in some situations. But I'm like, you see that growth as an athlete, that you're talking about that discipline, to be able to say, you know what? I would have loved to have seen that. And I'm not knocking her. But it really made me... sad when I kind of saw that play and I was like, damn.
Yeah, you can have your opinion on that 100%. Like, that's not even bad what you're saying. To be honest, it's like a fair comment. Even for me, I was like, rah, like, it took me back because she's the GOAT. She is the GOAT. She's the GOAT, isn't it? And obviously, there comes a level of responsibility when you're at that level of any sport, but especially boxing. And the people she's inspiring and things like that. It's a bad move. Obviously, she did it. I don't know the ins and outs. I mean, this is the thing with boxing is, like, women sparring men and stuff as well. Like, that could be a whole other conversation. But at the end of the day, like, you're gonna get in there with a professional guy. I haven't seen the footage or anything like that. Nine times out of ten, when you're sparring men, they go kind of like, not they hit you. I've been hit with some. I've been buzzed with shots. Like, I've been knocked down, but they're not gonna go full pelt.
Yeah.
Unless they're like completely novice.
Yeah.
You only spar pros, like male pros, will know how to give you the right amount of velocity in the shots mm-hmm. without actually really physically hurting you. So if you physically stuck it on her and hurt her, maybe it was a moment where she just lost her shit, you get me? And like, obviously she's saying about the gloves and all that. Well, you just never know, do you?
You don't.
That's why I don't want to comment on that.
Fair enough. That's fair enough, man. It just...
I know what you're saying.
You know what it is though? Like, there's something in me that it's kind of a utopian way of thinking.
Yeah.
You know, the ideal scenario, and I hope there isn't any backlash.
Yeah.
From her on a career perspective, because her trajectory, even going into MMA, you know, and seeing her journey, I really hope that little situation there doesn't cause any issue. Yeah, I hope it doesn't cause any issues or create any barriers, because it was just like, you know, Ronda Rousey?
Yeah.
You know how, like, it's like...
She transitioned over to the wrestling thing, right, though,
like, you see her thing, like, even... it was at the beginning stages where it's, like, almost like with Moses, the water just opened and it was just a clear path. It's the same as, like, with Clarissa. Like, the waters are just open, just go. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want something like that to ever hinder her, because she's too talented and too gifted.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's, like... I think she has calmed down a lot when you think about... Even at the end of fights, when she wins. When she was younger, she was crazy. She was like, I'm the crazy motherfucker all the time.
She kills me. So I don't give a fuck, bitch.
Do you remember she fought that Geordie girl with the brown hair? I can't remember.
Oh, Savannah Marshall.
Yeah, oh my God.
Savannah Marshall, she's the UK girl in my... She's sick.
Yeah, she's...
But I just love it. Them two personalities together.
Did you see...
so much entertainment.
There was like a... I don't know what you would call it. Like a conference where they were both sitting down, talking and going back and forth.
It's like the face off.
Yeah, that was
gloves. They do the gloves are off, don't they?
Yeah.
Where
they
have a conversation and talk about how they're gonna beat each other, how they're gonna use.
Cause it, that one was
so
wild.
Funny.
It was wild, and
I'm gonna beat you.
And cause she
that's that. I'm gonna beat you.
And it's like, sassiness. Like, what you mean?
You can't hit a fly.
She didn't give a fuck. And the thing is, because she's got such a strong accent, I don't think Clarissa could even understand half of the shit that was flying. It was
I come to the UK and I'm going to beat you. Next day, I'm taking them bells back to Michigan, Detroit.
Yeah, it was wild. But, mate, we're at time, man.
Yeah, man.
Listen. Thank you so much for coming.
Appreciate you for this. Honestly, nice one, guys.
Yeah. But plug your socials, all of your socials, or where people can find you, where they can keep in touch and follow your journey. So that's podcasting, boxing, the DJing stuff as well.
So my Instagram handle's Monique B Official. So follow me on Instagram, guys. Appreciate you. Boxy's World on TikTok. I'm getting into the TikTok thing. It's going to take a minute, but I'm getting there. And then I'll have my YouTube, Boxy's World, up. But that'll be on my Instagram. So, yeah, it's not up yet. But follow me on Instagram. That's our biggest platform. And then, yeah, go from there. It'll be, you know.
But I'll tag everything so they can find you when we drop it. But in the meantime, you know, do your thing. And you know where to find me, Meg Talks Online, on Instagram, YouTube and TikTok. We've got that long form content, so I hope that, you know, you're enjoying it. A lot of people said that you wanted the visuals, and it took me a little bit of time to get there, but we're here now.
Smashed it, come on.
And again, thank you for all the support. Like, I can't. Sometimes I get so emotional, I haven't even got the words, but just thank you very much for supporting with me. I hope you enjoy this episode, and we're out, man.